Be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The other week, I was doing the grocery shopping. Teresa gives me a list, and I go to the Publix, and I got there and was getting my cart, and as I was, there was a young mother there with her little daughter also getting a cart, and her daughter, I'm not good at doing kids' age, but maybe like 18 months old, not talking, certainly not walking, but just, you know, a little toddler, able to hold steady, a very cute little girl. And so as she was getting her cart, I overheard her say, "Now, Heather, we're going grocery shopping. It's not going to be that long, so just hang on there. We're just going to be getting groceries for a while." So I said, "Well, okay, that's kind of cute." And so the way I do grocery shopping, and I'm not sure if Teresa arranges the list like that or not, but I kind of go all over the store. I'm not up one aisle and down one aisle. A lot of people do that, but so I know I kind of look at the next item on the list and go and get it. So it just so happened I ran into this woman like three or four more times. And every other time I heard her talking out loud, and she was saying things like, "Now, we don't need any cookies. Cookies aren't good for us." And at one point, when I was way over, like 2 hours away, she said, "Now, Heather, just hang on. Just 2 more aisles and we'll be done." And then when I got to the checkout registers, they only had like 2 lanes open. Why is that way? And so they were really backed up, and I was right behind her. And she said, "Now, Heather, you be patient, and when we get home, we'll take a nap." And so at this point, I said, I'm to say something to her. So I said, "I just think it's really sweet that you talk to your daughter that way. Heather is really lucky to have you as a mom." And she looked at me very confused, and she said, "My daughter's name is not Heather. I'm Heather." Do you ever talk to yourself? Do you? Do you ever talk to yourselves? It's when we answer ourselves that we get in trouble, maybe. But studies show that most of us, if not all of us, do talk to ourselves. And if we do talk to ourselves, then a lot of that talk, what we're saying to ourselves, is negative. Studies show that we have about 12,000 thoughts a day. Can you believe that? Things that come into our mind, messages that come in, 12,000 a day. They estimate that at least 75%, if not more, are negative thoughts. Why is that the case? Why do we do that? Why do we program and wire our brains to do that? If you've ever listened to the evangelist and teacher, Joyce Meyer, she has an expression, "Quit your stinking thinking." Ever heard Joyce Meyer say that? Quit your stinking thinking. But a lot of us, most of us, struggle with that. We have these thoughts that come into our mind. And the problem with it is what we know from brain research that patterning and hearing it over and over again, it kind of hardwires our brain to think negative things. Now, in recent years, counselors have come up with a new therapy, a new strategy for this that's called CBT, Cognitive Behavior Therapy. And the idea is it's a strategy for kind of helping us think about life different, to think about things different and more positive. And I'm not ashamed to say that at various times in my life I've been in counseling, and I think anybody could benefit from counseling at some time or another. Sometimes we need somebody to help us figure out life and figure out things. And one time I was going through some sad thoughts and some depression, and I had a therapist who taught me this cognitive behavior therapy. And one of the things it does is it has some tools that it gives you where you kind of call out what your brain is making you do. One of them, I'll just give you a couple. One is all or nothing thinking. Any of you practice all or nothing thinking? Everything's always, everything's great, but more often everything is bad. You know, and we say, you know, just because one thing was bad, we make it, oh, it was terrible, you know. How was the church service today? Oh, you know, it was terrible because one thing went bad. You know, or any of the other things in life, you know, we dwell on that one thing. Another similar thing is having these, what they call negative mental filters. And that everything that comes through our mind, all of the thoughts that we have, it kind of, all of the good things sort of pass through and it catches the negative. I had a friend once that, man, you know, she was a great person. She was a very pretty woman. She was very talented, very educated. She had a beautiful voice. She was actually a radio DJ, and she's a great singer. But if 100 things went right and one thing went wrong, it would destroy her. She could only think about the negative. She's one of the most negative people I've ever known because she would always dwell on those things. And she wore me. You have friends like that? And so once it's called out like that, then we begin to think in more positive ways. And when I was going through this, I actually kept a mood journal where I would think through my reaction to things. And I would write down, okay, you know, not everything was bad there. There was some good. Not that person wasn't completely terrible. They actually had some good things to say. And so it kind of helps us think about the world in a different light. And so CBT can be helpful, but it's not new. It's not new. It's called that today, but it's been around as long as the Word of God's been around. This understanding of having a control of what we let come into our mind and what we think about. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And as we are thinking and throughout the day when thoughts come in, these 12,000 thoughts, that we need to make them obedient to Christ. Make them serve God and not serve whatever the world may throw our way. Paul, in today's reading, said it this way. He said, whatever is true, think about that. Whatever is noble, that's what you need to think about. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things. And so how can we use this as sort of a pattern for us to begin to look at the world, to work, look at ourselves, look at our lives in the way that keeps every thought captive to Christ. And so what I'm going to do is kind of work through these different attributes that Paul just talks about and see what it would look like if we use that as a filter. He says, whatever is true, probably more accurately, whatever is truth. Whatever is truth. And truth being God's truth, not truth as the world sometimes sees it. And I feel like in today's world, we don't always ask, is it true? Instead, we ask more likely, does it work? Does it work? Is that a strategy that will work for me? And what I mean by that is, even within the church, I feel like that there are people that think that to truly live the Christian life, to truly try to practice the fruits of the Spirit, is just pie in the sky. It's not very practical. No one really does that. If you really tried to put forth the fruits of the Spirit of gentleness and kindness and patience, you're going to get run over by this world. Okay? That's not realistic. That's being Pollyanna. You know, if you want to get ahead in this world, you know, you got to take the world by the throat. And so some people will look at that. And how does that work for me? And the world programs us to do that, right? The messages we get in the world is that, you know, we have to behave in a certain way, even if it's outside the Spirit, outside the fruits of the Spirit, and how God wants us to keep every thought captive. I'll give you an example of this. It happened to me this year. When Teresa and I first came to Conyers, we had two checking accounts. We had an interest-bearing checking account, and we had a regular checking account. Some of you may have your finances arranged that way too. Interest-bearing checking account is a good thing. You have to keep a certain balance, but it will pay you interest. If you go under that balance, then you have to pay them a fee, right? And so we had that for a while. Then we had a wedding. And so so I went in before the wedding, and I transferred everything over into our regular checking account, and I closed out the interest-bearing checking account. And so that was in, what, October, November? So in January, I'm looking at my statement, and not only is that account still open, they've charged me a fee. So I call them up, and I tell them what happened. And they said, oh, we'll take care of it, Mr. Benson. And so the next month, I look again, and they still haven't closed the account, and now they've charged me for 2 months. You know, I called them up, and they assured me everything had been taken care of this time. Now, I will tell you, I'm not the most scrutinous person when it comes to our finances and checking account. So a couple of months passed before I know it again. And now it's been like 4 or 5 months. And that checking account is still open. And they've charged me fees every month. In the meantime, they've also done something else. They have, and this will tell you which bank it is. Okay, I'm not going to call them out, but you'll know. They'd also opened a credit card for my wife that she didn't ask for. So I'm really wondering about their business practices. And so I, when I found that out, I decided I'm going to go into the bank this time. And I was really, you know how you rehearse things in your mind? I was really ready to go in and unload. But the Holy Spirit convicted me on the way. And I said, I don't need to go in there. And then they go through this big explosion, and they ask you, now what do you do for a living? And they say, oh, Reverend Benson. So I went in, and I could not have been more patient, and I couldn't more kind. And I told her, you know, firmly, but I told her what had happened and that we needed to have this taken care of. And so the woman was really nice, you know, we were sitting there at the desk. And she says, we're going to get this thing taken care of right now. And she gets on the phone. I don't know who she's calling. She gets on the phone, and she says to me as she's dialing, now, I'm going to tell them that the customer is really mad, but you're being very nice. And I'm like, what? The world teaches us that we have to behave a certain way to get through life. You know, if we're in business, we can't have Christian principles in our business. We got to have, you know, cutthroat. We got to have the world's principles, you know, or we get run over. You know, we cheat on our taxes because everybody cheats on their taxes. You know, we'll never get any money, you know, and we rationalize it. And so Paul is saying, Put those thoughts out of your mind. Whatever is truth, think about those things. He says, whatever is noble. Now, I think probably everybody in here has heard the word noble. We know what it means, but how does it apply here? When I think about noble, I think of nobility. And there's certainly something about trying to live our lives or keep our thoughts captive to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I think it's probably more accurately described, if you'll look at in the dictionary, the second definition, which is having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. Do our thoughts, are they of the highest moral principles? Are we trying to be stepping outside that? You know, are we allowed to let that go and get the thoughts that we need to have to be captive to Christ? Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Some translations say whatever is just. It's probably a better translation. There's much said about the biblical understanding of justice. And it goes back to this Old Testament word, this Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom, which means peace. And again, it's not peace that means the absence of war. It's a holistic peace. That prevails into every aspect of our life and every aspect of our community life. This understanding of shalom, of justice for all. And particularly, you remember the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk about taking care of the widows and orphans, because those were the people that were the most vulnerable in those societies. We should be taking care of those. And so the question would go around, it was kind of a rabbinical saying, how are the widows and the orphans? Do they feel safe? Are they cared for? That is the very definition of a just society, where those are taken care of, those people that are most vulnerable. And so in our own lives, we try to make that practical. How do we reflect that with our thoughts as we look at people, as we consider situations? Are they right? Are they just? Whatever is pure. That probably doesn't need that much definition. It probably could stand like that, whatever is pure. I can tell you that 14-year-old boys struggle with this one. And no one laughs. Other servers laugh. We all struggle with that. But really, the word here, the biblical word here, is really more about, it was used, this word in its Greek, to describe whether an animal or an object was pure enough to be used in worship. That's the kind of purity we're talking about. So are our thoughts, are they appropriate for worship? Do they worship and reflect God? Have we captured them in such a way that they would reflect God and worship God? Whatever is lovely. And the word lovely here, of course, doesn't mean beautiful. It means causing you to love. To love. Does the thought that's coming into my mind right now, does it cause me to love my neighbors? Does it cause me to love my enemies, as Jesus commanded us to love our enemies? These thoughts come through, and they don't do that. We need to let them pass on through, and we need to take captive our thoughts that cause us and enable us to love, to bring about peace and change. We're to think about things that cause us to move out in our love toward others. Whatever is admirable. Some of your translations may say whatever is of good report. And I actually like that better here. Whatever is good report. Because sometimes we have thoughts that come into our mind that I could categorize as giving bad reports or gossip. You know, our tendencies, we hear these things, or we either hear them or we think them, and we want to say them to someone about another, and it's gossip. It's not a good report. We don't think on those things. We look for the good and we give a good report and do things that build up. Closing, 2 Corinthians talks about taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I wonder what a difference it would make if we did this. What kind of difference would it make in our lives, in our families, in our community, and in our world? If the kinds of thoughts that we allowed to come into our minds so they could be expressed in our actions out into the world were true and noble and pure and lovely and admirable. Paul says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, today you might have noticed that the Paraments and Stoll, Steve Stoll, are red today. And if you're a liturgical mouse, you may think, why is it red today? It's not Pentecost, it's not a date. Well, the reason is today is the installation of our new district superintendent. And this afternoon here in this very room, in this very place, there will be lots of people wearing red stoles. It's a very special day. It's right here at Conyers First United Methodist. We are hosting this, and I know many of you are involved in this. But I want to say to you, if you've never seen one of these, it's worth coming to. I know there's going to be a lot of people here, but it's a very special service. And this weekend, I think we need something to give us great joy, and that it's a very joyful time. And so, if you're able to come out this afternoon at 4 o'clock and be a part of the service, those of you who are helping, thank you so much. We had it here because people know how we do such a good job on our hospitality, and that's why they wanted to have it here. There might have been churches that could seat a few more. But there's no one that does hospitality like Conyers First United Methodist, right? Yeah, we do that and do that well. So now go into this to this world and be peacemakers. Share the love of Christ. Keep every thought captive to Christ so that His love may reign in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in that peace. Amen.